have a mandate to teach our children about God. We have a mandate to let our children know that God is the one that will save. He is the one that will deliver. He is the one that will keep us. He is the one that will make a way for us. We don't have to bow to the enemy, because just like Paul told Timothy, it's in you. Your mother and your grandmother has taught you the word of God. They have taught you faith, and I see it in you. So when we are gone off the scene, we will have left our children something that the devil cannot take away from them. When they are in a situation themselves, they will be able to rely on the word of God. But if we think that we can come through those doors and shout and dance all day long and leave our children all to themselves, they are not being trained. Even when our children was in their teenage years, we yet told them, you live in this house. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I did not allow them the excuse that I don't feel like going to church. They didn't have an option. They didn't have an option. But they had a balance. They had a balance. We took them to the museums. We took them to the parks. We took them to the water worlds. We took them to the Six Flags. They had a balance. They played their instruments in the band at school. And it was that if you can do extracurriculum activities at school, you're going to do extracurriculum activities at church.
We thank you for tuning in to the Telling of His Goodness broadcast. We pray you were inspired, blessed, and encouraged from hearing the word of God today. If you would like a copy of my book, Telling of His Goodness, you may phone me at 318-305-6965. You may like me on Facebook, connect with me on Google Plus or Twitter. May God bless you until we meet again at the same time next week.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1.
Put your hand.
Call up somebody. Tell them it's gonna be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you this morning for this another wonderful opportunity you've given us. Now, Lord, as we come now to hear from you, allow your spirit to minister to our hearts. Lord, bless us in the way this day that you'll receive the praise and the glory and the honor, and we shall receive these principles to practice for this prophet. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you this morning. We're so grateful and thankful to the good Lord once again for another blessed privilege to be in the house of the Lord. 1 Kings, if you will, chapter 3. 1 Kings, chapter 3. I want to commence reading at verse 16. Verse 16, and it reads as follows. Then came there two women that were harlots, unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night, because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me, while thine handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Then said the king, The one said, This is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other saith, Nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, Bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, Divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my Lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, Let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, Give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof. I just want to look one more time at this text, because this is an intriguing text. And it shows and it displays the love and the depth and the profundity of a mother's love, how she has no limitations when it comes to the protection and to the provisions of her children. When we look at this story, it's an interesting story. It's no unusual story. We've heard this story before, most of us. And yet there are things that literally jump from the pages of Holy Writ about this story. Some things that are interesting, because when you look at this and you see this for the contextual truth that is here, you're going to notice a whole lot of things about this mother that is common to all mothers. But then you're going to notice there are some things in this text that are common to women who bear children and who are not yet mothers. I think we need to understand and determine that just because a woman has a child, it doesn't make her a mother. It makes her a woman who has produced a child. And so you need to understand that there is a difference. The law of love goes far deeper than that of just simple childbearing. And so here this young King Solomon, who now has the opportunity to express and explore, expound and expand the realms of the wisdom that God has given him in this simple decision. Simple on the one hand, but very difficult on the other hand. How do you deal with two women who are prostitutes? Number one, that would make them unfit to be mothers. First of all, his wisdom could have said, neither one of you deserve to be mothers being a prostitute. Because it is difficult for you to set the right examples. It's difficult for you to lead the kind of life that will be instrumental in bringing this child in a place and in a state where he or she will be able to live a qualitative life with good moral values in place. So he could have taken it from that angle. He could have looked again and said, neither one of you deserve to be mothers, because your real interest is not in motherhood, but servitude. And not that of others, but of your own selfish desires. And a real mother must not be selfish. A real mother's got to be giving, got to be liberal, has to look beyond her own concerns. He could have looked from different angles and had come up with an answer that would have totally nullified even the attempt for any one of these prostitutes to be mother. But there was something about Solomon's wisdom that caused him to realize that it doesn't matter what level of life you live on, if you're a mother, you're a mother. Whether you are rich and a mother or poor and a mother, whether you are morally right or not and a mother, there is something about a mother's love that cannot be compared or cannot be torn down by anything or anybody. One of the things that Solomon in his wisdom was able to look at and to appreciate and to evaluate was who was really mother material. Because I think there are times, and even our courts are faced with certain decisions of making when things come up, issues come up, whether or not a woman is fit to be a mother. And they make these strange and unusual judgments based upon what they have before them. But that there is something here that I want us to look at one more time as we go through and see what God has done on behalf of these women. Let's look again at what the verse says. Then came there two women that were harlots or prostitutes unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman was delivered also. And we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. Now here these two women, I'll get the picture in your mind. Solomon sitting on his throne. These two women come. The woman who had switched the baby has the baby in her arms. They're standing there. The woman who had known that the baby that had died was not her baby standing there before Solomon. And the interesting thing about it is you can just tell at the difference at the way a mother handles her child as opposed to someone else. Solomon is sitting there. He's observing. They're talking. The woman whose baby was not her baby is holding the baby in a sense and in a way where she really does not love this child, care for this child, and is handling him in such because her heart is not tied to this child. The woman who is petitioning, she is saying, and you can hear it, you can see it, her pathos, the believability, her ethos, all that makes her her, and her logos, the content of what she's saying, is all lining up with Solomon, because you've heard the saying, what comes from the heart reaches the heart. And Solomon is sitting there and judging, but he's not judging on emotions. He's looking and listening to the facts, and he's observing while he's listening to the two women tell the story. Now, they could have automatically disqualified themselves from their own profession, but Solomon overlooks that, and he goes to the deeper picture, because both of these women had a baby within 3 days apart. The one woman who did not care about her child, in the middle of a night, rolled over on the child and killed it. Now, the first thing that will tell me is that you are that insensitive as a mother that you don't even know that your child is there, because that was not a connection in terms of a motherhood. It was a burden. It was a responsibility. It was something that happened and she didn't want it. So when it came here, the love that should have been tied with it was not there. So she's sleeping now, so comfortably so, that she does not recognize or realize that her child is lying beside her. If you've ever seen a mother lie with a newborn child, there is a tenderness, there is a carefulness, there is a watchfulness as the mother lies on the side of a child, but undoubtedly it wasn't there with this woman. Rolled over and suffocated the child in the middle of the night. And then having realized in the middle of the night something's uncomfortable here. And realize, Lord, that's the baby. She takes the baby and she goes into the other woman's room and she switches the baby out and she comes back and brings the living child there. Now keep this in mind, because there are some points I want to point out here. As this happens here, the real mother now wakes in the morning to feed the baby. And she notices that the baby is dead. But that's strange. Because somewhere, somehow, you would think that she would have known in the middle of the night that the baby had been switched. That's strange, because somewhere
you know, she would have noticed sleeping light listening for the child somehow in some way that she would have known that her baby had been taken from her possession. But nevertheless, as some historians say, that the mothers in that day, and especially in those settings, did not actually have the dwelling places and the sleeping places that were like holding places, and they slept there in one area of the room and the baby was in another area of the room. And unlike our houses that we have doors that squeak when you open up, these were just cavities and passageways where she could have tipped in the middle of the night and switched the child. And of course, if the child is dead, wouldn't the one was going to cry? And if the one was sleeping at that time, she could have made the switch without a problem, and that's what some of the theologians suggest. Well, at any case, when she got her baby to pick it up, how many of you know that a mother knows her child? I mean, there is a connection without even a visualization. A mother knows how her child feels. A mother knows how her child reacts. And as she goes and she picks this baby up and it's dead, but there's something strange about this deadness. Child. There are things that mother spots about babies that daddy overlooks. There are things that mother knows about. I've seen little twins and could not for the life of me tell which was which. But that mother look and say, that's this and that's that. Somebody ought to hear me here. Now, listen, they don't give a complete time as to how long the mother had, but it was clear that it wasn't a long time. But it didn't need to be a long time for the love for that child to have been there at the moment that child, and even before that child came into this world. So that was a natural connection there. And so when she examines this baby is not her baby. But she couldn't do nothing about it because it was in her crib. It was in her possession. And when she looked at the living baby and she saw that it was her baby, they had to take all matters before the king. So now they come before Solomon. And Solomon is looking at the way the woman who has the baby is handling the baby. And he looks at the mother who knows that's her baby. And so the petition goes up and both women tell their story. And Solomon is looking and he's observing. He's listening and he's observing. He's putting together the truth of this story. And then he says, tell you what we'll do. Since you say it's yours and you say it's yours, bring me a sword. And so they come now with the sword. And Solomon is looking at both of them intently to see their response and to see their reaction. And as the one woman comes to the rescue of the child, she says, no, that's all right. Forget it. Let her have the baby. Why let her have the baby? What was it really about her? No, it was really about the baby. Her love for the child, she would rather have allowed the child to live and be with a mother who was unfit than to let the child die because she wanted to be right. She saw the fact that her love for this child was greater than her own desire to be the mother of that child and to have him in her life. She was willing to give up and let go so that she would be able in the end to see this child raised and reared and to know that she gave him a fighting chance at life. She was willing to sacrifice separation from her child so that her child would be able to grow, to live, and to experience things like that. There are some commonalities in motherhood that even extends to today. There are sacrifices that mothers make today that they didn't have to make if the love wasn't there. There are things that mothers have done and would do, and it's strange how mother will go places and do things and share and give where others will not. It was unusual as Solomon sat there and watched how the woman who said it was her child said, let it be neither one of our child. Now, the woman had already said, listen at this now, because it don't make a whole lot of sense when you think about this. If the woman just won custody of the child, why didn't she just take the baby and say thank you and go on about her business? Because I can tell you one thing, she didn't want to be a mother in the first place. Somebody ought to hear me here. It wasn't difficult. difficult for her to say, no, that's all right, cut the baby up, because her baby died because of her negligence, and that was not the spirit of motherhood in her, even though she had just had a baby, and yet the woman whose baby it truly was could not even stand the idea of harm coming to that baby.
Yes.
And so when she cried out, let her have the baby, and then the woman retorted, no, neither one of us deserve it. Solomon knew right then, if it wasn't her baby, it should have been her baby. Somebody ought to hear me here. If it wasn't her baby, she would be the more fit mother, because she didn't want harm and she didn't want danger to come to the child. She was willing to release and let him go. She was willing to separate herself and give him a shot at life. She was willing to humble herself and give this woman the right. She was willing to take the background so that this child would have an opportunity to know what life was. And so Solomon said, even if it wasn't her child, she deserves to have that child. Can I suggest something to you, my brothers and sisters? That there are mothers who have never ever had babies, who are more capable of giving love and sharing love and ministering love to children, because they recognize the benefit, the value, and the gift of life in the person of a child. There are mothers who have never ever known the joy of actually bringing a child in this world, but have known the joy of rearing a child in this world. There are mothers who have given it. I'm talking about those who have the spirit of motherhood. When you have the spirit of motherhood, it means that it is a life source. And if it's a life source, it means it's a constant reality. Have you ever noticed that mothers, real mothers, don't ever stop being mothers? I don't care how old and ugly you get, that's my baby. That's my child. Big old grown man come there crying and whining. Mother, he knows he can find comfort there. No matter if a child is in jail, that's my child. Daddy might disown it. Child might be lying on the bed with AIDS, but mama will come there and do for him what nobody else would do for him. Mother has a certain, I'm talking about motherhood now, has a certain love that cannot be compared with anything or anybody. A mother's love, real love, has a penetrating power. Oh, that's why mothers, don't you ever underestimate the power of prayer. Because God hears the prayers of mothers in a special way. Don't ever think, my brothers and sisters, that God does not pay special attention to mothers. Because God understands the burden and the responsibilities that's been placed within the spirit of motherhood. God understood something about motherhood, because motherhood evolved out of God's love and his compassion, his mercy, and his grace. And that same spirit comes out. I'm talking about real mothers. I ain't talking about women who had babies now. Hey, because y'all are quiet on me here like you don't know what I'm talking about. The reality is that God has given such a special place in the heart of mothers that it actually mirrors the life and the love of God. And so when I see this kind of love, it helps me to understand that motherhood transcends all cultures, all countries, all concerns. Motherhood transcends all economic bases, all educational bases, and all environmental conditions. Motherhood has a way of rising above and standing to the call of meeting the needs. How many times have you looked, and even in our history, how mothers had to do the job, two and three-eyed jobs, just to make ends meet? Take degrading jobs, scrubbing folk floors and cleaning out their toilets and cooking their food just to give their child a chance that they never had. How mothers would go without just so that they would have enough. Sit down and the food was scarce. Mother would always take the bony parts of the meat. And you know, chicken was a big thing. And it was just strange how mother just always loved the backbones and the necks. Y'all ought to hear me here. making sure she didn't bother the legs and the thighs and the wings so that the others could have enough. And for fear that they want a little more, she would always act like she had enough. I'm talking about real mothers now who were trying to make ends meet, who were not above asking for what was needed and necessary, put pride down and went to places and said, I need some help here. I'm talking about going to folk who you know didn't care for you, who didn't like you, but when motherhood stepped in, she put pride and everything aside so that the child could do and be what it was given the opportunity to be. Mothers, how many have I seen going down to the jailhouses and to the courthouses and talking to the big folk about that? I want to let you know a whole lot of brothers ain't in jail today, not because they were so good or so kind, but mama went down there and with tears in her eyes said, would you give him another chance? Lord, I wish I had a witness here. When you begin to understand and evaluate it, that it doesn't matter what level a mother is living on, if she is a mother, she's a mother. If she's rich and she's a mother, she's a mother. If she's poor and she's a mother, she's a mother. It doesn't matter if she's educated and a mother, she's a mother. Doesn't matter if she's ignorant and a mother, she's a mother. And when you understand that you cannot in any way equate anything greater than that connection with a mother and a child, God transcends all of the troubles and all of the trials and all of the things that would preempt that reality in being. God puts something so deep that nothing and nobody can never move that. Yeah. And so my brothers and sisters, as I look at this text today in closing, I want you to realize that when God gives that special spirit of motherhood, it's no wonder why he tells us to remember her in her old age. No matter what the situation is or the condition is, no matter in the word, it tells us to respect her and to honor her. No wonder why it says if we obey her and if we do the right thing, our lives will be extended out. Because you don't know that it cost her something to get you here. The old folks said she had one foot in the grave and the other on land and giving you birth. And so no one will ever know the great responsibility and sacrifice that a mother has made. For those of us who still have a mother alive today, question is, have you ever stopped recently to just recount the sacrifices of your mother to give you what she never had, to support you in your dreams and aspirations? Have you ever just stopped other than on Mother's Day just to really say, Mother, I was just thinking and I want to tell you how much I appreciate you? Have you ever stopped when you were going through your rebellious stages, fighting and fussing and turning away and allowing the spirit of the Antichrist to lead you from the teachings of mother? Have you ever stopped to think that she never stopped loving you? Never stopped praying for you? Never stopped waiting and watching for you? That there is something there that I think we ought to remember and we ought to revisit. That mothers are special. They're special because God has given them a special love, so that it would minister to the hearts of those that he has entrusted. And to those whose mothers are gone on, to be thankful and grateful to God for having had a mother. Be it a long time with you or a short time with you, the fact that she brought you in this world was a gift that none other had given to you save God through her. And even the memory should cause you to be the best that you can be, because of what and who she was. Yes. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Father, our God, today we want to thank you for mothers. Mothers who are real mothers. Mothers, Lord God, who have given themselves totally to you. Who seek you. Who desire you. Who yield to you. And then, Lord God, who in your wonderful and perfect will has given them a spirit like you, that cares unconditionally, that loves unconditionally, that sacrifices unconditionally. Thank you for mother. Now, Lord God, we thank you for this word today that helps us to see that a mother on any level, if she's a mother, is a mother, and is due the honor and the respect of a mother. Father, we would that all over this nation, all over this world, you will help the children of mothers to be appreciative and thankful for the gift of motherhood. Now, Lord, touch any woman here today who does not realize that having a baby does not make her a real mother, but that the spirit of motherhood must be a part of her. And God, as we seek today that your word would minister to each heart, do it as only you can do it. Change, transform the hearts and the lives of these